Well, that was good timing. We're going to begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for watching over us and for keeping us and for seeing us safely here this morning. And I pray your good hand upon us, Lord, as we take this time around your word. Lord, that you would find our prayers and praises and the teaching and preaching and the tithes and the offering and the fellowship, Lord, just the whole service acceptable in your sight. And Lord, that you would bless it, that you would be one of our number. And Lord, that this would be, we'd be glad to be in the house of the Lord. Please, Lord, be with those that couldn't be here, with those that have slipped and slid, with those, Lord, that are even sitting at home now, maybe in the world of flesh, and the devil has just blinded their eyes and just convinced them that they don't need to be out in the house of the Lord. Lord, please work on those hearts and minds, not just in Derry, Lord, but right the way across the world. We just love you and thank you, and pray that you would lead us and guide us through the service. And we just leave this and our private prayer requests, Lord, and our thanks as well for bringing Christy and Taylor safely home. We leave these all at your feet, Lord. We pray that you would grant these things according to your will. Amen. Amen. Wee black book is where we're starting this morning. Hymn number 2. This is what it's all about. So let's sing this blessed old book, hymn number 2. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and born. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Amen. I don't put those wee black books away. We'll practice and exercise our vocal cords a wee bit more. Number 16, wasn't it? Number 16?
Yeah,
number 16
in the black book.
16 in the black book. So, and number 16, he left for me. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
To reclaim.
Amen. You may be seated. Norman, if you're good to read, brother, you come on ahead.
This morning's reading is from the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew that great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, and their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, and circumcision made without hands is putting off the body of sin, the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities, powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ on the rudiment of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility, and neglecting the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Just want to take a moment or two and remind you to make sure you get one of your little prayer lists. We're glad to have Christy and Taylor with us. We're glad they made it safely back. I know sleep's a bit lacking at the moment, so we're not going to threaten you with someone coming over and tapping you on the shoulder if your head starts to go over. But it's been a long day. I think I think last night Christy said they were what, a whole day without sleeping, not just 8 or 9 hours, but like 24 hours. So pray for them as they get their home moved in and sorted out and organized and one thing and another. And just keep praying for them. And if you can, lend a hand, lend a hand. Doing, what is it, two of the most stressful things that you can do in your life, all in a very short period of time. One is getting married and the other one is moving house. And that's just exactly what's happening. So, amen. Amen. We're glad to have you. Amen. There's a bunch of prayer requests on this. There's a few that I have written here. Some from Pat and Steve. Frank, I take it he made it back safe and sound. Good job. I would also ask that you would remember my dad and his blood pressure. Pray for Steve and his neighbour. Steve has a few appointments coming up and some results to get. Please also remember private prayer requests if you would. If you have any that you would like people to pray for, just stick your hand up and we'll put your name down. We don't need any details and we'll add your name to the list. So please do remember that. Any private prayer requests, folks? I think everybody else has put their hand up at some stage. But have you any? Excellent. Good position to be in. One other thing I would just like to mention is that my sister fell and broke her ankle yesterday. So say a wee word of prayer for her, if you would. Her name's Aileen. I think you've all met her at some stage or other in the past. But that's what you get for playing with a dog on wet grass. Trip, I think it's the skinny bone in her ankle, just sort of like that there. So please do pray for her. The lengths you got a mum has to go to get to sit with her feet up and be lifted and laid, so I think the men in the house will not know what hit them whenever they have to do a wee bit of this running. So I would appreciate your prayers for her as well. For Monica's mom, she's still waiting to go on Thursday for this ablation of the arteries in her heart, so we would appreciate your prayers for that as well. Other than that, if there's anything else you want to add to that, thanks. We made it. Will's been pushing hard for the past wee while to get out leafleting, so we were out on Saturday. Saturday wasn't a great day, you might have noticed, but I think we got the 2 hours that were the best in the day, just out tracking. So we were tracking up at the Crescent Link and those new white bungalows. Just thanking the Lord for that, for the desire, for the wherewithal, and for the good weather. It always makes things just that little bit easier. We even got a chance to talk to someone. He looked at the track and said, "Is that the wee hall out on the Carmoney Road, just off the Carmoney Road?" And I said, "It is indeed. I think everybody must know about my boy from here, there, and everywhere." But he was quite pleased with himself until I said, "Consider that your invitation, come out and visit with us." The smile sort of dropped a wee bit then, but amen, we had a good time. We look forward to more. We heard the Bissett family was up visiting with us on Monday, wasn't it? And they said that a number of people from other churches that hadn't opened or weren't doing their services properly over this past wee while had actually gone to worship with them. So you just don't know. You just don't know. Pray for each other. I know Christine and Mary, please do remember them. Pat and Steve, do pray for John McMahon as well at this time. And each other. We already said that, I think. So, amen. Right, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Well, if you're fit, brother, would you lead us, please?
Yeah, thank you today, Lord, and thank you for bringing us safe and secure to the nutrition on time, Lord, and all want peace, Lord. Thank you for Christine and Taylor, Lord, provide for them and keep more best union. And thank you for bringing us safe and secure from Tim Bryce today, Lord. Lord, we have asked God, we have Leonard, Lord, provide for them and keep them sore and bless them and keep them visible and spiritually, Lord, and keep them. We have Frank as well, he's departed from it, right? He's overnight, Lord. Give Jim Bryce's deliver from trouble, Lord, and bless them and keep them and draw them closer to walk with thee. Lord, save well, John Collins, Stephen, especially John, Lord, and bless them and keep them, provide for them as well. But Esther, he'll stop her from returning, Lord. people in our infirmities, Lord, and bless her, keep her, Lord, and help her, and help her listen to the services on the CD or online, Lord, and bring her back to us, Lord, in one peace, Lord, and bless her and keep her, Lord. We have Steve and Pat, Lord, helping with the diabetes, loving them from the troubles, Lord. We have Steve as he's going to the doctors, Lord, and Lord, make it, give him a full bill of health, Lord, and give him the healing, Lord, and if not, Lord, give the doctors the right, dismiss the right medicine to heal him and, or to stop his pain from getting worse, Lord. Give Pat and Steve rest at night and respite, Lord, from the troubles, Lord, and provide for him and keep him as well, Lord. And with John Bradfield, provide for him, help him from his blood pressure, Lord, help him, provide for him, keep him safe and well, Lord, and bring him, give him a closer walk with the healing and our spike of the ankle, Lord. Lord, heal, Lord, and stop, help her, Lord, and minister on to Lord, and bless her, keep, draw her a closer walk with thee, Lord, and provide for her, and keep her able and well, Lord, and heal her life, Lord. We'll stay, Lord, and provide for this service, Lord, give, mark this, touch the Spirit, Lord, to touch our hearts and our souls, Lord, to draw us closer to thee, Lord, and to thy Son, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the words, Lord. Thank you for every good work and every good thing you provide for us in the past week, Lord. Do so in the next week, Lord. Coming, Lord, may we put you in the forefront of our lives, Lord, with, spiritually, monetarily, physically, and emotionally, and psychologically, Lord, and we do everything for that honor. Go for the tracks that went out through the doors, just, Lord, use it to touch souls, Lord, and also, Lord, use it to reach a shoe shop, Lord, mm-hmm. through your store, Lord, and Lord, save families, households as well, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, fight for us, and give us, Lord, to do everything that is acceptable in our sight, for our honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our big hymn books. Big hymn books, and we had a pick of, where was it? Oh, to be like thee, 320. 320. Oh, to be like thee, one remains seated as we sing.
Oh, to be like
Sostenutos are tricky there, aren't they? Those little smiles with a nose in the middle of them. But amen. Keep these books open just a little bit, if you would. There we go. 173. And again, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing the uplifted name.
Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Mary, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a rest, or well, at least listen to me talking for a little bit. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2 this morning, I'm going to read a handful of verses from this portion of God's Word, and I would like to bring a message on. Well, I have a couple of titles. One was The Second Wind, or A Second Wind. And the other one is Two Breaths. So whichever one works for you, or just put them both down if you're taking notes. But that's what I would like to spend a little bit of time on this morning. Two Breaths, Second Wind, Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. We're just going to read the first 7 verses. Amen. We're glad to have you here. I'm glad to have you here. I've had plenty enough experience of speaking to an empty church about this time last year. It's nice to have some people to fellowship with and to bring a message. A little bit like fresh lasagna, as opposed to the stuff taken out of the freezer and warmed over in the oven some time later. Amen. Or fresh bread. There you go. Genesis 2 verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Just in case you're wondering, verse number 7 is our text this morning. I want to speak on the subject of, we'll call it the two breaths. Amen. Christy, would you be okay to pray for us, brother, please?
Father, thank you this day for your goodness, Lord, for being good and perfect gift, Lord, that cometh out from above in all our lives, with them as no shadow change in our variableness. For bless the service, be with the preacher this hour, day, and lead his thoughts right now. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to him the words that he must speak to us, Lord. Fill him so that he might fill your sheep, Lord. Lord, just as you send the mist to water the face of the earth and in our text, Lord, just send it to water hearts here and minds as well, Lord. And just shower wisdom upon us, please. Save the lost, be with those, Lord, that are struggling, fighting silent battles. Lord, those that are on the brink of backsliding, Lord, that you would just protect them, restore them, Lord, and keep them in the way. Be with this city, Lord. Drive the spirits to your side far from it, Lord. Remember Israel at this time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us reach our family and friends. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, worth remembering that we have an obligation not just to ourselves and our family, our friends and our neighbours, but to our country as well, to pray for our leaders. And very importantly, the more you bless the Jews and Israel, the more the Lord will bless you too. It's a thing that many people have missed out on over the years. Amen. Amen. Normally I just have the one title. The title of A Second Wind came to me as I was standing up here thinking on the service. And I got to thinking just many times people that are in sports, they'll be going hard and they'll be pushing their muscles to the limits, and they'll come to a point where they can't go any farther, but if they take a moment, they get their, in quotes, their second wind, they're able to get up and get going. And to a certain extent, that applies to the message this morning. But I want to speak just for a moment on this first breath, first of our two breaths that we'll be speaking about today, and just what the importance, or not consequences, seems very serious, but the responsibilities of that this has set in our laps, set in our hands, and really what we should be doing with them. Our text begins with the end of the creation of, or the pinnacle of God's creation, with us, with Adam and Eve. Well, Adam at this particular point. And just like the Lord called the birds and fishes and whatnot out of the waters and out of the air and the plants up from the ground, so the Lord formed us from the dust of the earth. And that is one of the reasons that you will hear many times at a funeral the words at the graveside, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, because of dust we came and dust we do return. And if you're speaking to anybody that's even in the least bit house proud, as long as you are in the house, there is going to be dust because we quite literally shed dust. It's an unfortunate side effect of sin. And I suppose that is one of the things that many ladies will look forward to in heaven, is they will not have to dust their mansions anymore, and there'll not be any vacuuming, or I'm sure windows will still maybe get handprints on them, but who knows even about that. If the Lord needs us to have Wendoline and Kitchen Roll to clean our windows and make them sparkle, they will be there, and it will be a joy to do them, not a chore. But there's one great delineation or difference between every other thing in God's creation and us, and it's sort of bound up in verse 7. Everything, it could be talking about literally anything, any of the other creatures, until he gets halfway through verse 7, and the Word of God says that God breathed into his nostrils, that's our nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what makes us different. That's where our free will comes from. That's where our conscience comes from. That's where our appreciation of beauty comes from. Our appreciation of power, of majesty, our even duty of love. And when I say love, I mean sacrificial love, not this lust that most people have been programmed to accept as love. That's where our teachability comes from, our changeability comes from, and our savability comes from, if you want to put it like that. We are, in essence, completely autonomous. We can do or not do as we see fit or feel, and we can learn. And that is the whole point, that we learn. It's a precious gift. Not just life, but free will and a conscience and a living soul. And it's so precious, in fact, that God went to incredible lengths to make sure that it would be kept safe, and we'll come to that in just a little bit. But the sad thing of the matter is that that gift is not appreciated by many people in this world. We see, sadly, that has landed at our shores in the very recent past in the shape of abortion. I remember, goodness, it's a little bit sobering and humbling whenever we talk about the rest of the world and how it's fallen away to wickedness, and it has normalized the murder of unborn children, and they call it reproductive rights, but by the time the baby is in the womb, that you've exercised those rights already, and you have reproduced, and that little baby has rights of their own. But it's not just the very young now that are at risk. It's people that are not having a good day. People that maybe are in pain. Euthanasia is knocking at our door as well. And who would have thought, even a couple of years ago, that in literally one of the most conservative parts of the world, that these things would be landed in our lap, and we wouldn't be able to stand proudly on that fact. In fact, you know what? I think maybe we stood too proudly on it for too long, and we didn't pay attention to what it was we were standing on. This conscience, this breath of life that we have received, sets us apart from every other creature in the face of the world. Now, I know there have been, I don't know if you've ever come across gorillas and things that have been taught to sign, and they have been able to communicate with their handlers, but for all of that, and they can express their wants, and they can express their nature, they still can't look at a painting and say what a wonderful piece of God's creation. They can't look at a sunset and just appreciate that God has made all that to happen by spinning the earth through space for another day. They just don't have that. I know it's maybe not a great example, but it was one that came home to me, was watching somebody's pets. I think it was YouTube, that great fount of knowledge and wisdom that's available to everybody in the world, just about. But the dog was told not to do something, and it sat there until the owner was away, and then did a quick check around. It went and did it. It ate whatever it was it wasn't supposed to eat. This one, however, was very well trained, and it was able to go and get a replacement out of the cupboard and put it back on the plate again. I have seen dogs do that. I have even seen the cats do it. There's no love for any other creature, even for sometimes for their own kittens, for their own pups. And sadly, instead of these creatures learning from us, we seem to have regressed to be like them. It doesn't matter how complex the creature is, even the dolphins with their huge brains. And it doesn't matter the TV show that we watch or the voices that are put to our pets. They don't have living souls. The Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians round about 14 or 15, tells us that there's different types of flesh from men and creatures and one thing and another. There, all creatures in this world are not living souls. People are. And it doesn't matter what religion you subscribe to either. Animals are not people that did badly in a previous life. They're animals, and they always will be animals. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So we're different. That first breath that Jesus breathed into our nostrils made us different. Now, living souls, that's us, back in the Garden of Eden, used to fellowship with God in the cool of the day. I'm assuming that was the morning. And just like we put bugs in a jar, or even keep and feed our critters in vivariums and various other enclosures, or even sometimes the big lions and polar bears, you feed them and you water them and you protect them from the elements and from the things that people throw into the enclosures. God actually made a garden for us. It was called the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't just like one you'd see round the side of a house. I'm sure this was many, many miles on a side. And many times for us, God entered into his creation. He used to walk and talk with Adam. And even after that, he entered into his creation many times, talking with saved souls, saving lives in the here and now, and of course souls for the whole of eternity. And for those souls that were able to see and appreciate and to think and to reason, God even set down his laws. First five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And people were held accountable for breaking those laws. Laws were so important that all of the rulers, the kings and the like that came along, God actually commanded them to write themselves out their own copy of it, so that it would be personal, it would be in their own handwriting, and the effort that they put into it would actually help it stick in their minds. It's so important that God, whenever he walked amongst us just 2,000 years ago, promised that no matter what happens in this world, there will always be his word available for those that want it. And beyond even that, he lived with us for 30 plus years. He proved who he was in exercising just the merest flakes of his power in raising the dead and healing the sick and walking in the water and commanding the weather and even commanding animals and casting out devils. And he did each one of them many, many times. And eventually, for these creatures that hated him so much, he gave his own life on the cross for us. He suffered one of the most agonizing deaths, and on top of that, he had all yours and my sins heaped on him as well. All the things that we have said and done that we can never pay God back for, Jesus paid for. He gave his own life on the cross. And then, just to prove he wasn't just any other Joe Blow starting his own wee cult, he raised himself from the dead after being dead and killed again just to make sure he was dead with a spear up into the heart. He raised himself from the dead. And he proved that to whomsoever will, there is life after death. There is an eternity. There's more than just the here and now. More importantly, he did that to provide that second breath, that second wind. The first of which made us living souls, the second of which made us saved souls, if we let it. It reminds me a little bit, I think it's John 10:10, where the Lord said, and it was recorded for us, he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And I don't know why, after all these years, these few points have just suddenly connected in my brain. I'm sure some people could come up with a reasonable explanation why it's taken that length of time, but that's almost the New Testament description of the entire message, that God did indeed give us life, but he came to give us a more abundant life. In John chapter 20, and I'm sure you know where I'm talking about now, in verse number 19, just after the Lord has been raised from the dead, the disciples were commanded to be assembled in the upper room together, or to stay in Jerusalem until Jesus came to them. It was the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And the word of God records that when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they're remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And you all know how the rest of it goes with Thomas, and the reason he's called Doubting Thomas, but that's not of really any importance to us this morning. But what Jesus did, he fulfilled a promise. A promise that had been made many times in the Old Testament, and one that he had made just not that very long ago, before he gave his life on the cross for us, when he said he would give those that followed him and that believed him another comforter. A comforter that would never leave them, that would never forsake them, that would never get rid of them. A comforter that would seal them till the day that they stand in front of God Almighty in new and glorified bodies with no sin nature. A comforter that would teach you all things. Did we say that already? A comforter that Jesus said would remind you of all things. A comforter that would deliver you comfort. Peace that the world can't do or can't promise, the peace that passeth all understanding, the wisdom as much as you need, strength as much as you need, boldness as much as you need are prepared to let into your life. This is what comes with the second breath. A purpose, the greatest purpose, the purpose of God when he walked amongst us in the face of the earth, which was to seek and to save that which is lost. Which does not mean to say that any life that's not spent in full-time Christian service is not the life, a proper life or a worthwhile life. Everybody has different duties in this life, and that's a completely different service about the different parts of Christianity, the different offices in the Christian church. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and his last command to those that care is to go and preach the gospel to every creature so that he can save them too. This is the same God Almighty that has been preparing since then for his return. That's 2,000 years. The same God Almighty that put little notes in the greatest work of literature that's ever graced the face of this world that points to a time in the not very distant future when Christ will return. The same God Almighty that knew that the times that we live in are so treacherous and so tricky that things change so quickly that we were going to need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit all the time. And when you think back on it, in the days of Saul, The Holy Spirit came on Saul and he started preaching, and they said, is Saul also one of the prophets? The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and he was able to perform amazing feats of strength. The Holy Spirit touched souls up and down through recorded history, and as it did, it inspired them, it strengthened them, it gave them wisdom, and it gave them peace. And the deeds were so incredible that people have been talking about them for 3,000 and 4,000 years. Some of them have even passed into popular knowledge. Normally when you say someone's like Samson, immediately they know you're talking about someone that's really, really strong. If you're talking about someone with the wisdom of Solomon, which really all it was a little bit of God's wisdom, you immediately know that they make smart decisions, and so on. If you want to know what the scary thing about it is, God knows that we need this all the time. If we are to keep going in a world that is literally neck deep in sin and drowning faster than anybody could send a lifeboat out to it, we still need everything that God has to offer us. We need his comfort. We need to know that this world is not our home, that there is something better than it. Goodness, who would want to spend the rest of their lives in a world where every time you do the right thing, you're penalized, you're criminalized, and every time you do the wrong thing, people lift you up and glorify you? God knew that we would need the second wind. That's where the second wind came from in the title. The second breath from him. He knew that we're social creatures. And that we need our Christian family, but more than that, that so many people out there in the world, sadly, the Bible says, the many that are on the broad road to destruction won't want anything to do with you. The Lord said, for all of you that lose out or give up on things for me in this world, I will give you things that are 100 times better right now, that to help you with those persecutions. It is a frightening thought to think that the same Holy Spirit delivered that wisdom, that comfort, that peace, that knowledge, and that strength to these characters that mean so much in the Bible is the same Holy Spirit that resides in the heart and mind of every Christian that has trusted in Christ as their Savior, because we need it. So many times in the New Testament, especially in the renditions of Matthew 24, the Lord, as he spoke about the last days, and he warned about pretenders. People that would look the part, but they would be traitors. They would be condemning people to hell in the lake of fire. And they'd be popping up all over the place. They'd be here and there and everywhere. And God basically said, don't be going here, there and everywhere. Test the spirits whether they are of God or not. Check these things against the word of God. That comforter that I promised would bring all things to your remembrance will bring them to your mind whenever you have these questions to ask. It sounds pretty important. And it's there for anybody that will repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When you roll over in bed, he's there. When you get up and brush your teeth, he's there. When you're brewing your coffee, he's there. When you're in the shower, he's respectfully there. Whenever you're ironing, cooking, working, tapping a keyboard, watching your monitor, computer, or even just looking out the window, he's there. Whenever you're in the mountaintops of joy, he's there. When you're in the depths of despair, he's there. The Lord knew the times that we would be living in, and the fact that we would need the second wind, this breath. This Lord that even now sits at the right hand of the Father, he's not even done with us. Even forby that we have this comforter, the Lord still intercedes for us and fights our corner against the devil. The same God that has been convicting souls for 6,000 years and would see if any that would repent is still working for us. Now I know a lot of people don't think it's very important. If they did, this church would be full. All the churches in town would be full. All the pubs would be churches. All the, the vaping shops would be churches. Sunday would be as busy as any other day with people just coming to worship the Lord. Twice a day. And it'd be busy longer. If people thought that this was important. If you were walking down the street and you ask someone, could you spare me a couple of breaths? They're almost immediately expecting you to say, can you spare me a couple of pounds for a cup of tea? But with this lovely weather, with the light breeze, with this, and if you're a hay fever sufferer, maybe this isn't a good description for you, but with the smell of spring and summer and some farm smells as well, and the wind blowing in the trees, you wouldn't think twice about sparing two breaths for somebody. If you were to say to one of the kids, I can almost see little Faith or some of the little children, they would come up and say, Faith, could you give me two breaths? And she might say something like, in years gone by, she might say something like, sure, I'll hold my breath and you can take the next two breaths and that'll be my two breaths for you. And wouldn't even think a thing about it. How many times have we seen instances where people have literally had to breathe for people, to give people their breaths, because they've been pulled out of the water or they've stopped breathing or even a newborn, that the lungs are still full of fluid and one thing and another. You wouldn't think twice about it. You would just smile and go on about your business, and in the case of saving someone's life, you might walk an inch taller and your steps might be an inch longer. But if you asked a submariner that had to escape a stranded submarine on an ocean floor, that would be a different story. Because two breaths could mean the difference between life and death. If you were to ask a soul about to step off into eternity, would you like two more breaths? I wonder what the answer would be. I know we already mentioned about praying for rulers. But Queen Elizabeth, I'm assuming the first Queen Elizabeth of England, way back in 1603, who had 1,000 or more royal robes, dresses and things like that for every occasion, for laying down the law, because back then she was the law, for attending dinners, for going on ambassadorial missions, maybe even at one point for sitting on a horse and leading the charge with her soldiers, maybe a little bit like Joan of Arc. And for every situation in between, for an evening dress, a night dress, a morning dress, a shooting dress, a hunting dress, who knows? You know what she said? She said, I would give all my possessions for a moment more of time. Most powerful woman in the world. She would have given it all for just two more breaths. There was another queen, a Queen Mary of Orange in 1695. She had the proper mindset, the proper soul set to step off into eternity. And she said, I thank God that I have always carried this in my mind, that nothing was left to the last hour. I wouldn't take a chance. Each and every one of us is a living soul. People that are listening to this, and I know sometimes it's hard to tie all the bits together, it at least makes sense in my mind. I wouldn't take that chance. One of the stories that when people talk about putting off serving the Lord or putting off getting saved, is to remember the account of a man that worked away out in the boonies and in the States years and years ago, logging and turning huge logs into lumber, if that's right. He said, whenever challenged about his soul, he said, Preacher, I only need 10 minutes before I die, and then I'll get right with God. I want to tell you, friends, that never happens. I had an old uncle who was confronted with two young whippersnappers of great nephews, myself and my brother. Lost man sitting on his deathbed in hospital was challenged. Richard, do you want to talk about your eternity? Do you want to talk about God? He says, no. Don't need any of that. And he died without Christ. This lumberjack was pulled into one of those big saws and he didn't even get his 2 breaths worth. He didn't get even his 10 seconds. And he was gone. 2 breaths might not seem like an awful lot. They might extend your life for a minute. But if you don't get that second wind, that second breath from Jesus Christ, you're done. If you do, it will extend your life into the endless ages of eternity. And it would be my prayer, yes, this does sound like a little bit of a salvation message, but just remember the salvation is one of those things that many lost people put off, but service is one of those things that many saved people put off. Ask him today. So many Christians are like a flashlight with 2 Duracell batteries straight out of the packet. Just sits there. Never used for anything. If you were to turn it on, it would come on at full power, but it's never taken and used. And that's not the way that the Lord wants for his children to be. Second wind helps you get up and get going and make something of yourself. And I know for a fact that this will do the same for any soul that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. That same Holy Spirit that the apostles and then all the believers of Jesus Christ received that day and the days following will mark and seal anybody as a child of God the Father, as a king and a priest of the King of Kings. It will give you a life beyond compare and prepare you as you set off into eternity. 2 breaths, both from God, and literally both make the world of a difference. Amen. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I think I had a song picked to close the service with. If I can just find it. Hymn number 232. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing, tell you the story of Jesus. 232.
Homeless, rejected, and poor.
be the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him,
why he gave anguish and pain.
Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story, most Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story, most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Amen. I think the music machine's trying to take a hand out of us this morning. Thank you all for your good time and attention. God bless you. Don't forget our prayer requests. And amen. Good to see each one of you here. We'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. For this wee bit of time around your word, please bless our fellowship after the service. And I pray you, Lord, that you would see us safely home. Please be with our missionaries, Lord, and every missionary around the world that's teaching and preaching the full counsel of your word, but just especially, Lord, the Cosgraves Christian Institute and Kids for Schools, Lord. We love you and thank you. Thank you for loving us and watching over us and for your patience for us, Lord. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands.